Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 657, live coverage of the 2017 solar eclipse. We are in Maconda, Illinois, which is way down in the forest and way down at the tip of Illinois and southern Illinois. And I'm here with my best friend, Steve Steiner. And we're going to talk about the getting here. We're going to talk about where we are, what's going to happen tomorrow. We are on the eve of this eclipse. We'll tell you where we are, and there's a little story behind it in podcast 657. So we're down in southern Illinois getting ready to experience this fantastic, really singular event in history. And then, of course, another one in 6 years, 2024, will come through this very same spot. So we're at ground zero for the big eclipse. And that's really all we're thinking about right now. It's very, very late. In this podcast, we're going to talk a lot about the eclipse and where we are and the history of this place. But this time of year, we start to head towards state fair time in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and that means the weather's going to change. And I talk about this every single year. You want to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business come out and check your heating systems, because you want to make sure everything is running right before you have to turn on the heat. Now, you may look out the window and you may think of the sultry heat of the eclipse and you may feel that humidity, but you know as well as I do that the weather's going to change soon, and then it's a short hop, skip, and a jump to having to turn the heat on, usually in mid to late or sooner October. And when it comes to these systems, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. They do quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And I'm talking about heating right now, residential and people in small businesses. So remember, Ryan Plumbing. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Eclipse Podcasts from the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Now, very quickly, I want to tell you that I'm going to be working with a company called ReliaFund very soon, and I will have lots of details, but I just want you guys to know this is a company that does, basically, it clears business for companies that are online e-commerce companies. Like my own website, thebobdavispodcast.com, sometimes people make PayPal donations, but clients also pay their bills through the page, and one of the things ReliaFund does is they help you with that. They don't have any long-term contracts. They have an easy-to-use dashboard that has reports that provide the information you need to know when it comes to e-commerce. And this is a company, ReliaFund, that gets to know clients to be their partners, and they have two decades of experience in this business. And I'm going to be telling you more and more about ReliaFund as we go. You can check them out online at ReliaFund.com. And I'll eventually throw up a link for ReliaFund with a banner so you guys can check it out. And I'm really speaking specifically to developers, people who develop websites for e-commerce for your clients in the e-commerce business. So ReliaFund is basically a third-party payment processor. They belong and they are a leader of the Third-Party Payment Processor Association and demonstrate their leadership in the payments industry on a day-to-day basis. I love these guys. They want to talk to you. They want to work with you if you're a developer. They want to work with clients one-on-one. You will be talking to actual human beings. Keep listening for more information about ReliaFund. So in podcast 657, here's the deal. I will do probably two podcasts from the eclipse. And in podcast 657, we're going to talk about where we are, how we got here, where we're going to be viewing the eclipse from, why you can hear people partying behind us, and all that. But I'll start by saying that we were kids, and there was a... You said it was a partial eclipse, right?
Yes.
And we had a Polaroid camera, and we had your telescope, and we set up in the backyard. And, you know, we're going to do that again with this. And you were able to navigate us all the way down here to this particular location where... Tell us, you know, why are we here? What's special about this place?
This is supposed to be the best place to see the total eclipse, the longest. And besides that, it's the best in the whole eclipse path, and it's also the most convenient for you and I.
Yeah, well, that's true, because we came down from the Chicago area, and We came down one. We came. We can't decide if it's State Route 1 or U.S. 1. I think it's State Route 1. I think it's U.S. 1. You think it's State Route 1.
It's State.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's Dixie Highway. That's what. That was the big deal, that it was Dixie Highway.
The identity changes from state to state. But it's still Dixie Highway.
Okay.
It's a very interesting history in that. So.
Yeah. And it's, you come down and it is, you're driving through. And people don't realize this, because when people think about Illinois, they think about Chicago. And they think about, you know, this giant city, or they think about, you know, some of the other big cities in Illinois, whether you're talking about Rockford or you think about the northern part of the state. But the fact is that Illinois is a gigantic agricultural state, primarily. I mean, there are fields and fields and fields and miles and miles and miles of corn and soybeans and huge farms. And one just cuts down. It's a two-lane road. It just cuts down through just this beautiful farmland, which eventually it's flat to begin with, and then it kind of gives way to this rolling countryside that's almost like Kentucky down here, right?
Yeah, it is. It's darn near.
It's pretty amazing. And so we are in this, I don't know, what would you call this?
A small town. Very small.
Yeah, it's a really small place. And it's we pulled in and we went up to, what's the name of that park we went to? It was a giant peak or something like that, or Giant Ridge State Park, I think.
Yeah, I forgot the exact name, but it's, yeah, something giants. Yeah.
And we went in there and we thought, well, maybe we can get, we'll get lucky and we'll be able to get into a campground up there. But they've got that closed off and you cannot go in there. So we came down back into Mercanda. I'm sorry if that's the name. I announced it at the beginning. I'm probably going to mispronounce it several times, but Mercanda.
It's partially my fault.
which is a little town here, and they're having a little celebration. And they claim, and you were checking this out earlier, they claim this is the point, this is the longest point, the center, this is ground zero for this eclipse right here. And you checked it out and you said, you know, you were just sitting here on the bumper about an hour ago and you said, you know, they might be right.
I got to verify it, but I like the one fellow was telling me, the apparent owner of this property,
yeah,
was telling me that it goes through an artist's shop that's down there, or at least the artist put a center line through his shop.
Yes.
And he has several nice paintings and such to sell people also.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
Well, there's a TV truck down there, and that was our second choice. So we came into this place, and we pulled in, and we thought, well, this looks like a campground. And, you know, we stopped up on the road, and you yelled out, what's the story? And the guy said, you know, you just move those bales and pull in, and it's $20. So you can hear those guys in the background. Those are the guys that were here when we pulled up. So we're here, and somebody said, you just wait for this guy, Bud, right, to show up, and you pay him $20, and you're good to go. So we moved the bales of hay, and we pulled in, and then you put them back. That was very nice of you, because if you hadn't, there would have been 10,000 more cars here.
That's why. That's exactly why.
And Bud and his friend came by about, what was it? We were cooking dinner. We had the camp stove out, and they came by about an hour later, and there was a huge fight over there. There was quite a disagreement the next bay up, which is basically we're parked on the side of the road in a line, and then there's a whole area down there where there's a bunch of campers and trailers and stuff. And so we're parked behind this other guy who is actually a crime scene photographer and his family. And then his friend, so they got two trucks up there. Then there's Mobile Podcast coming, and then there's Juan behind me. So everybody's just kind of hanging out here waiting for the eclipse to start. And some people are drinking and imbibing pretty heavily. You're not. You're just having a few. You're okay. And so Bud shows up, and he is not happy, right? And they get into a fight over there. And you said something that I thought was really important.
Oh, about the situation over
there?
Yeah,
you said, how do I know?
Yeah, you got to verify.
You know, how do you
know? Some guy could take $100 from you, and then here come the police later, you know, and the real owner.
Yeah, get off my property. Yeah. Well, it was $100, so I just decided to pay it, and then I demanded a receipt. And then we had a little tete-a-tete, and Bud typed me up a receipt. And then I was very grateful that you went out there and said, can I have your cell phone number? So we all got his cell phone number, so we know that it's him. So we're good to go.
Yeah, no, it turns out Bud's, he's pretty cool, and he's been hanging here. And
I think
he just lives up the street.
Yeah.
And he's got this property also. So.
And I think he was just super stressed out because he charged all those people down there, and then we just came in. And I think he just freaked out, and he was really upset and just wanted to get his money. And
yeah.
And we were like, we're glad to pay. We just need a receipt. It's a business thing. You know, it's just, you know, I need a receipt because I need to know that you're the guy. We think tomorrow there's going to be a ton of cars. This street out here is just going to be lined up with cars, don't you think?
I think it's quite likely.
Especially if it is what likely. They say it is, right? If it is what they actually say it is, there's going to be a lot of cars.
Anywhere in between the 80-mile-wide band is fine, basically. The center line is just a technicality, so you're okay.
That's true. And, yeah, that was the other thing you pointed out. If you can get, and people are like, well, we're going to see it in Minnesota. It's like, no, you won't. You won't see it like this. This is it. So it will be dark. It will be completely twilight. This is the path of totality. And it will be, tell me what's going to happen, because you know more about this than I do. And I sound like an idiot when I try to explain what actually happens here.
It's a complete covering of the moon by the solar disk, which means not one bit of sunlight gets around, and you only see the ghostly outer atmosphere. And actually, only during the moments of totality can you actually look at it. Any other time it's partial, you're getting sunlight, and it'll burn your eyes, so don't even try it, people.
You'll have that half corona in your eye for the rest of your life if you look at that, right? You know, that's not good. So I'm not even going to look at it, because you know what I'm looking for? I believe they're called dispersion bands. And there's all kinds of weird light. And you told me about that at one point. Even with the other eclipse, there's all kinds of other light. And we're going to be looking for the dispersion bands across the land from this thing, because apparently the light just gets really weird when right before it happens. You start seeing weird flashes of light and strange, and it's really hard to photograph these dispersion bands as well, because they don't photograph well, right?
Yeah, to my limited knowledge on it, you're talking about, you know, it's weight, you know, light is basically a wavelength, real short wavelengths, and when you get to the edge like that, then you start getting the parts of the wave that also are affected by gravity, you know.
Right.
It's an Einstein thing. It's way beyond me.
Right. but the physics is way beyond any of us.
But there is an occurrence to that, and then there's also the bits of light that are shining through the valleys of the moon.
Really?
Yeah. There's peaks, valleys, and the moon. Most of it's pretty mountainous. Oh, we could talk about that there is going to be another one coming from the southwest, coming right through here again.
That's right. It's a crisscross. In 2024, another one will come right. Well, you know what? There will be another evening just like this in 6 years, right?
Maybe not with the same group of friends we've had and we found here, yeah, as you could say, right, Bob?
Well, it's weird because, you know, you pull in and, you know, you're going to deal with people that, you're just, it's a random thing. And I've had great experiences in campgrounds with people that have always been really great. But this is a little different because all kinds of people have come out to see this. But listen to this. Now, there's a generator running, but just listen to for a second. Just listen to this. Late evening in southern Illinois. It's been just a crazy summer of travel for the Bob Davis podcasts, the air show, the great event at Sturgis, and now, of course, the eclipse. And I think I may have one more trip left in me. I don't know how, but maybe I do this summer. I want to talk about Ciro 3D. This is the great motorcycle products and accessories company I've been working with. They are really famous for these fantastic lighting options and solutions, whether it is headlights, that allow you to see and be seen, or whether it is decorative lighting, we like to call it shock and awe. It is really badass stuff. Ciro3D.com. Visit their website at Ciro3D.com, Ciro3D.com. Sign up to get their catalog. Check out the parts. Very high quality. There's a lot of crap out there when it comes to motorcycle accessories. I can tell you, Ciro, they ride. They have all ridden for a long time. Most of the guys there have more than one motorcycle, and they want to manufacture well-designed and high-quality parts, and they do that. Check it out, Ciro3D.com. We had quite a day, though. We had quite a day of traveling. We left where we were left a town about 35 miles south of Chicago, and we drove. We got here, and what did we figure? 6 hours, something like that.
Yes, with the break, 6.5 or so, you know.
And we didn't take any. There were no freeways involved. In fact, at one point we were like, should we get on 57 for the last leg of this thing? And then we both looked at the map and we realized that we were going to cut down diagonally, and we got here pretty quick. It didn't take very long at all to get here. And if we'd have gone on 57, we wouldn't have gotten here. We would have had to go down, and we wouldn't have angled over, because was it whatever that street was, it 45? I think it was 45 angled over.
Yeah, definitely. It helped a lot. And we came in from south of Carbondale. We avoided any possibility of the congestion or mayhem of people from the night before.
We undercut Carbondale, so we didn't get into any of the craziness. And a lot of people say, well, why wouldn't you, if you're going to do a podcast, why wouldn't you be sitting in Carbondale? And here's the thing. I'm wanted to be at the point where it is, where you said, we should just go because we're here. We may as well go to the absolute point that we can get to that's the longest. Get in that band at any point north or south, east or west along that band, because the whole point of being here is to experience this total eclipse instead of experiencing the party. So that's really the intent of this podcast and the intent of this trip, is to get in this eclipse and actually be at the point of totality and not go find the party in Carbondale.
If you want that, you can watch any number of television stations that are going to be there. And they're going to have the smiling girl that's down, cute girl from whatever city, you know, come up or come down.
Yeah, right.
And go, oh, isn't it so great?
Oh, by the way, I should mention, we are right on the, as we used to call them, the old Illinois Central tracks. So here comes a train. Check it out. How far down is that?
Not sure. I think he's coming up from the south.
Yeah, here he comes. Now, we saw the Amtrak go by earlier. So the Amtrak's been taking people to Carbondale for $25. So people have been getting on these trains and going into Carbondale. This may be the Amtrak coming back, and it might be a freight. We'll see. What's so weird about that?
What's that?
You know, you would think passenger trains would just roll through here at like 70 miles an hour, and that thing was going like 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, that was odd. Maybe there's somebody switching over from the other side. They got to roll slow.
But yeah, it was a cheap fare to come down to Carbondale from, I guess, Chicago on the train and check out the whole thing in Carbondale. But is Carbondale basically the totality?
No. It's just one stop along the whole path that starts from Oregon to, I think, South Carolina, isn't it?
How far south are we from Carbondale?
Oh my gosh, we're only about maybe 15 miles or so, something like that.
So we're still within the point of time. So we're talking about, really, in terms of totality, seconds. But they're saying this is the line. This is it. This is ground zero.
Yeah, yeah. And so it can be anywhere along the path is good enough, because it can be like you're not even going to notice, you know, a second or two longer, or 5 seconds or 10 seconds. You're just going to be looking up and going, wow, that is something. Uh-oh.
If I were you, I'd move. He might back up.
Yeah.
Okay, guess he's going. Did Juan not pay? Was that the deal?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's leaving. Well, that's very interesting.
The exit is blocked.
I should also point out that it is really humid and close and hot. And tomorrow, they're telling everybody there's going to be advisories and heat advisories and everything else tomorrow, because it's going to be high humidity and high heat.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be it's going to be sweltering tonight, I'm going to tell you. I actually envy you, because we have a tent. So you get to be out in the, if you're choosing to put the tent up. So we should probably get to that at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do that, and I think the thing is going to be the besides the event and looking at it, are the people that you interact with, most of which are going to be perfectly fine.
Well, no, and we've made such a great progress at interacting with. So let's talk about tomorrow. Tell us what's going to happen. I'm sure people have heard this and whatever media that they're watching, listening to, but what time does it start, and what's going to happen?
I think the start of partial eclipse is going to be like in the morning, probably like 9:30, 10, I do believe. And it's just going to get covered more and more and more. And down here at 1:19, I think it is, in the afternoon, daylight savings time, be all the way. And for about 3 minutes, it'll be covered. And then it does a reverse.
Come on up. So this is Bud, and you own this. You own this land.
Yeah, this is my property.
So,
well, thanks, Bud, for having us.
This is my prized possession today.
Well,
so
thank you.
What provoked you to do this? Did you just figure this was the thing to do?
Well, I like events. I like spectacular events, and
great.
This is a spectacular event. And I have engineered this group of people through my hard labors and made it possible for everybody to come down here and enjoy this spectacular event. And that's what it's about, you know. It's about people getting together and seeing something that is just spectacular. Yeah, it's beyond mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's going to be dark at 1:21 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're going to see a 25-degree temperature drop, more than likely. And we're going to hear the night birds singing.
And then the world's going to end.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Didn't they tell you about that part?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching all that stuff.
No, don't go there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And all the solar power panels are going to be in neutral and not produce any power, so it's going to stress out everything else, and the whole system's going to shut down. That's what I hear. I don't honestly.
Oh, good lord! Oh boy, we're having to pay a day.
You're the guy that said that the guy actually has a line that is, this is it. Like
this is it. We're on ground zero. We're on the line for totality.
And
he has
a line that right in the town, which is about what, 500 yards.
And I'm getting ready to move you to the front of the line. You're going to be up front. Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about the weight of this vehicle.
Oh no, you're good, man. We had 34 foot RVs come through here. Actually, come through here, and
so I won't sink down.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
So you want us to go up there?
Yeah, because I want you to be in the front, since you're a podcaster and you're representing us. I want you to be in the front.
That is
front
awesome.
Of the line.
That is really
all
awesome.
Podcasters to the front of the line,
or get out.
Hey, is there a good escape that way?
Yeah,
if we want to get going.
I actually have the key to the gate up there,
because we were thinking about doing the party aftermath up in University Town up there, in Carbondale.
Oh yeah, I'll get you.
And
you'll be the first ones out.
So it could be
a
great
thing
for
you guys to be up front, and then everybody can see that we're serious about.
We'll be the second ones
out.
Yeah, you need to get a little closer.
Oh, yeah, we can let everyone see our seriousness about this solar eclipse taking place.
And this is a nice town. I mean, it's
unbelievable.
A really nice town.
Yeah.
And you grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up in Makanda. Makanda has there's a lot of history here. Makanda goes back to the 1850s. It was a community that was much larger than Carbondale at one time.
Really?
Yeah, this was a fruit exchange, and it was so desirable because of its proximity to Chicago and the freshness that was needed to get the fruit to Chicago.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a gentleman from the town south of here that did Makanda in. He invented the refrigerated boxcar.
Really?
And when he invented the refrigerated boxcar, they no longer needed Makanda.
That's when you have an idea that's so good.
Yeah, but it's the advance of technology.
So how did the fruit get here?
The fruit was brought in by buggies and horses.
Oh, wow. And then was it trained up there, or they took
it? Yeah, they took it by train to Chicago.
That is amazing.
Yeah, there was an apple cider press down here in this ground here next to there, to the front of us. There was several sidings for the coal cars and
you guys got to move that way if you're going to talk.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
There was a lot of activity in this town. It was very busy. There were that street across the valley. There were seven churches located on Church Street. Seven.
Wow.
So yeah, this was a bustling community in here in Southern Illinois. It was a premier town to live in the 1850s. So, 1860s and early 1900s.
And you've gotten around tonight because you had to collect money from everybody.
Yeah,
I know it was pretty stressful. Too.
Yeah, it was.
What kind of people are here? Tell me about the people that are
here. We have some people from California here. We had a astrologist, a retired astrologist, and they already pulled out and went into Giant City Park.
Wow.
But
they got a place up there.
Yeah, they had. He was a. Her husband was a disabled veteran, so they were able to capture a handicapped spot in the state park.
Well, that is a beautiful. That's a beautiful park.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Giant City State Park is unbelievable. The rock formations and the different things that took place down here.
That's when the 883 came
out. It's just unbelievable. There were actually printing presses during the Civil War that were set up in the park. And people printed propaganda newspapers in Giant City State Park.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a true story.
That's amazing.
And the reason they did it in the park was because those areas were so inaccessible to anybody that they could actually hide out there and do this.
Were these Confederate?
Yes, they were. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. They
well,
were.
We hear so much about history today, especially the last few days, and people don't realize Illinois is such an interesting state because it has, you've got people who are on the southern side and you got people on the northern side in this state, which is, this is a Yankee state.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it
so
was.
It's so interesting. The history. You got an astrologer, you got these guys, a couple of guys from Chicago. This guy's a crime scene photographer over here.
Yeah, we have a police officer here. We had some fantastic musicians in here tonight, and they got together and played some really good music. We have some people from California. I had a couple come in from Nantucket. Let's see. Had a gentleman come in tonight from Alabama. Everywhere.
And then you're going to be able to do this
Wisconsin.
Again.
Yeah.
6 years from now, you're going to get to
2024, we're going to do this again. Makanda.
I'll be here.
Makanda is the crossroads for two eclipses.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to have... Do you believe that there's some effect from that? You're literally a crossroads for an eclipse. This town,
it is.
It's what would you think would happen because of that? And I mean, I don't have
Well, I think it's going to give Macanda some notoriety, and in the aspect that obviously that it's a crossroads for the two eclipses. But what's going to happen is it's going to bring a lot of people in here, and then they can discover it. You know, they can discover the hidden treasures of Southern Illinois, because a lot of people
don't.
There's a lot. Yeah, yeah, you could spend a month in Southern Illinois and not see the same place twice. There's so many different beautiful places to visit.
There are. When I was a kid, we used to take road trips all the time, and we always came down here. You know,
yeah,
you know,
it's magnificent.
The locks and dams, all of
them. Oh yeah,
you know, it's great.
Absolutely, Garden of the Gods.
I don't even know that one.
Ferncliff State Park, Little Grand Canyon. It's magnificent.
It's a great state.
Oh man, it is.
Bud Barnett.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you
so
for
I
coming.
So I guess we'll get this thing broken down and get ready
to
move.
Yeah, we'll go to the front. Yep.
Sounds
so you're
good.
At the front. Yep.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're going to be up in the front of Ground Zero.
That is wonderful. Thank you.
What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I'm stunned.
Yeah.
And I know Steve's going to be happy because he's got his telescope and everything. So that'll be great.
I'm moving you.
Okay.
All podcasters, move to the front of the line.
All right. I'm gonna shut this thing down for a second.
So, yeah, I'll walk you up there. And,
all right.
You can follow me up there. And you got front row.
It's going to take you a couple minutes to get all this broken down.
Well, it's just about 5 a.m., and so it's about time for me to hit the hay. Steve already has pitched the tent, and he's in there. I'm going to be going soon. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for heating checks. It's a little too soon to talk about heat, but as soon as the state fair is over, you know what's going to happen. Winter is coming, right? Just like they say in the show. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They do great emergency service. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Now, one more time, as a great memory of the air show, if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, don't forget Alpha Systems. They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. This is the indicator with the state-of-the-art display that sits on your plane's dashboard that shows you how much lift your wing is producing. It's critical in takeoffs and landings. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com for more information. So yeah, we're live at the ultimate point of totality right here in Illinois, Southern Illinois, south of Carbondale, Illinois. I'll tell you more about it in future podcasts from the Eclipse location for 2017. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and watching my videos on Facebook and checking out the podcast online at thebobdavispodcast.com. We have great streaming audio. Also, Stitcher.com, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and then, of course, iTunes. If you subscribe off the page, if you listen off the page, if you listen and subscribe off of iTunes, you don't get the inserted ads. Those of you who have Android devices, Stitcher.com, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, better for that, but they do have the inserted ads. Sometimes it's problematic. I recommend you just listen off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks again for listening to Podcast 657 live. We finally got here. We're all exhausted. We're all ready for tomorrow for the big eclipse 2017 right here in Southern Illinois. Kind of quiet out there.
All right, I'm going to shut this thing down, man. This has been a crazy podcast.